My mind has shifted seemingly all over the place this past week or so. This is not the first time I started thinking about this. And what I'd like to speak to you today about is children, and specifically training your children. But while I'm talking about this, I want us to think about what we are as God's children, and how does He train us, and how receptive we are to that training in God's kingdom. But I want to kind of hit where the rubber meets the road, because this Bible is full of practical teaching, and we need practical teaching because it helps us get along in life. It's where the rubber meets the road, and there's no more practical book. That the whole Bible is practical and applicable to our lives, but some of it's kind of difficult to put into perspective for us. But Proverbs doesn't have any, we shouldn't have any problem applying those things to our life. Now, Solomon starts it out and he says, in chapter 1, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Solomon was the third king that Israel had. Saul, David, and then Solomon. He says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. That he's telling us what he's reading, or what he's going to instruct us in, and the whole purpose of all these Proverbs. To receive instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. To give subtlety or wisdom to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. You know, there's a lot of knowledge out there that is not used with discretion. These words mean something. And then he says, a wise man will hear. He sets the distinction between a wise man and a fool. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's not the end of it. You don't get knowledge and then you fear God. You fear God and that's the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So in this very first few verses, Solomon sets out the purpose of these Proverbs. And he also makes a distinction between someone who will hear and someone who will not. Someone who will heed instruction and someone who will not. The wise hears and heeds, and the fool just doesn't listen and he goes the other way. He just kind of despises instruction. So, how many of y'all can look back over your life and see how things have changed? I mean, look at the walls. It's totally different now than what it was last week, isn't it? This is what it was, I guess, what, 1956 is the date back there on the wall, Brother Billy? A different time, a different era. And what do you think the children were like in 1950? Some of y'all know because you lived through it. What were the children like in 1956? Well, the children in 1956 were just exactly the same as children today. Children have always been the same since Cain, Abel, and Seth came from Adam and Eve. They're still curious about their environment. They're still adamant to do their own will. They still don't understand the fullness of cause and effect. They're not perceptive of dangers. I mean, last night, Porter and Annie and I were outside, and the dog was curious about something that was in the fire bush, in one of our bushes, and he was up on his hind legs, and I thought, something's in there. And of course, Porter just runs right up, and it could have been a snake. It ended up being a nest of a bird, but we didn't know that. It was kind of dark. And so he just run up there, and I was like, son, we got copperheads bad around here. You don't need to do that. So they're always, that children haven't changed. But our society has changed. How has it changed? Does it bother y'all? When you go to Walmart and you see kids kicking and screaming on the floor and their parents not knowing what to do? Does it bother you when you go to schools? We got several teachers in here. Does it bother you when you go to schools and you see the children, how they deal with their friends? How they post stuff on Facebook? That's a big difference, isn't it, Sister Shirley? Facebook from, you know, what it was back in 1956 or 1980 even. How they treat people online and how they treat people in reality. How they treat authority figures. Does that bother you? It bothers me. How they respond when you tell them no. What we're seeing today is the chickens coming home to roost from the idea of the me generation. That's what we're seeing. Now, as I said, the children have not changed, have they? So what's changed? It's the parenting of these children. It's how they're trained. It's how they're raised. And I want to tell you the difference between training and raising. What do we do with hogs? We raise hogs, don't we? Now, how do we raise hogs? What you do is you feed them corn or slop or whatever, because a pig will eat anything. You feed them day in and day out, and they grow and they look mature and they'll get fat. And what is the end of a hog? It's to be slaughtered. But you, on the other hand, you have to train a child. And you train a child exactly like you train. Now, this is going to sound rough for people. You know, this is not on Facebook today because I couldn't get it on there. But if it was, you know, I'd probably be blocked from Facebook if it was on Facebook. You train a child exactly the same way that you train a dog or a horse. You make what you want them to do easy for them, and you make what you don't want them to do very difficult for them. That's how you do it. Now, I want to talk a little bit about some history that I don't know is really written down anywhere. We can see the evidence of this back in 1956, since that date's on the wall. What we had was most children were taught right from wrong. Most children were told no. Most children had limits set on them. They were taught what was acceptable and what was not. The kind of behavior that was acceptable in the house or in society, and what behavior was unacceptable. And there were consequences of both. And there still are. Now, but in 1956, there were fringe, or I'm just using that as an ambiguous date. There were fringe groups on either end of the spectrum. And on one end of the spectrum, you had a very small, I mean very small percentage of people that were what we call today helicopter parents. You know, whenever we'd be at school and we'd see a mom in a meeting or something like that, and we'd get out of the meeting and we'd go like this. You know, sound just like a helicopter, right? That was our indication, like, yep, that's a helicopter parent, and we're seeing the results of it. Now, what is a helicopter parent? A helicopter parent is one that doesn't tell their children no. They don't tell them no because they want their children to be happy. They don't set limits on their children because they want them to be successful in whatever they do, so they pad their environment so that they can be successful. They give them easy things to do and they praise them for the smallest things. And they, whenever something is hard, they, we've heard this term before, they bail them out. Right? They bail them out so that they won't have to experience the difficulty of being sad or having any adversity in their life. These are the children that grow up used to getting their way. Their parents want them to experience so much that they just give them everything. And I'll tell you what, because obviously the children are going to do something that the parents don't want them to, and these parents bargain with their children and say, I'll give you an ice cream cone if you don't hit your sister. Hey, that sounds all right to me as a kid, you know. I can stop hitting her for a minute until I get the ice cream cone. When I get the ice cream cone, I'm going to keep hitting her, you know, once I get what I want. This is not light year, you know, stuff. This is basic training 101. But I'm telling you that these were the fringes back in the 50s and 60s, especially 50s. the 40s and 50s. Now, the children are trained to believe that everything is easy for them to accomplish because their parents never give them any hard things to accomplish so that they can be successful. They never let them fail. Okay? The helicopter moms never let their children fail. And so, what is the end result of these children when they grow up and look mature? What's the end result? Well, whenever something comes at them that's outside of their realm of understanding or having ever dealt with, what do? They melt. They melt when they're faced with adversity. They melt when they're faced with opposition of opinion. That's why we have so many. Did y'all hear about this? You know, several years ago, they started having safe spaces in colleges. In colleges, when they had safe spaces to where these seemingly grown children can go so that they could not have to deal with any opposition to whatever they were thinking or their ever mindset or their point of view. They still have them. Did y'all know that? That's what we got in our culture. Is we've got folks that never have had to deal with adversity in their life. And when they do face it, they melt. Y'all know what a term for those people are? Snowflakes. When it gets hot, they melt. Just a little warm. These are the kids that never were taught how to change a flat tire. And when they have a flat tire and they're all by themselves, they don't know what to do. And they sit on the side of the road and cry because they don't know how to deal with life. That's the result of the helicopter parent. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, you had the free rangers. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Y'all know the difference between a caged chicken and a free-range chicken, don't you? The free-range chicken just go out and do whatever they want, you know? And then when they want to come into the coop, they'll fly into the coop. But they spend all day long just doing whatever they want to, just roaming wherever they want to. That's the free-range parent. And the free-ranger doesn't tell their children no, but for a different reason. They don't tell their children no because they're just not engaged. They're not engaged with their children and they don't understand. They just don't want to set limits on their children either because they don't care. They want their children to do whatever they want to do and they just let them go. Now, when those children of the free-range parents don't or do something that their parents don't want them to do, how do the parents react? They'll usually go off on them and react very strongly. Like, you get over here, you know, and then they'll spank them or whatever. And the kids are sitting there, well, I did it yesterday and you didn't do anything. These are the disengaged free ranger parent. And that what happens if you did something yesterday and it was fine and dandy, they watched you do it, and then the next day you did the same thing and you got a spanking for it, what would that tell you? That would be confusing to you as a child, wouldn't it? That would these folks that they grow up with no moral direction or standard of conduct. Do y'all see that? Now, they've been taught, what they're being trained. Both of these children are being trained, but it's not a conscience training. It's more of a passive training. Now, These parents are teaching these children that the rules constantly change. And we don't know what it's going to be today as opposed to tomorrow. They grow up with no consistency in their life, these free rangers. Whatever they desire this day is the rule of the day. Have y'all seen that in society? Are y'all seeing it? You can watch TV, watch the news, and see these folks that are rioting because they're not getting what they want. I'm not just talking about families. I'm talking about our culture. But our culture is that way because of what? Families. I used to go to school, and at one school, I believe it was in Trenton, they had a picture of a house. No, that on top they had a picture of a little red schoolhouse up there. And then they had a picture of a house where people live on the bottom. And it said, what happens here at the schoolhouse depends on what happens here at your house. That's the same principle of our culture and our society. We're seeing it crumble because the homes are crumbling. The training at home is happening, but it's passive training. It's not active training. Now, these children grow up to have no moral standard. It's whatever they want on any given day and for any given issue. These kids are the ones that scream and cry until they get what they want. Y'all see it? Mm-hmm. They scream and cry because they've been free ranged and taught that I can do whatever I want to do. And if somebody tells me no, I'm going to scream and cry to get what I want. And then these parents are the free rangers. They give in to them and they let them have whatever they want. Now, these old fringes, I'd say, let's just put a percentage on it. Back in the 50s and 40s and 50s and 60s, and even 70s probably to a large degree, I would say they were 5% were the free rangers and 5% were the helicopter parents. And 90% children were told no, they were set limits, and they were allowed to fail. Okay? And understood consequences. They were corrected and brought back on the path that their parents want them to be. Now, in our culture, those fringes are the 90%. That's what we've got in our culture, are those two parenting styles. And then on the fringes are the ones, the very small number of people that are actually training their children actively on purpose with moral standards and God's way. And that's why society is crumbling from within. Now, Proverbs chapter 22. Solomon talks about a good name, rather to be chosen than great riches. Then he talks about the rich and poor meet together, Lord's maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. I mean, he talks about all this, and then he gets down to verse 6. Seemingly out of place, but he says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. God has a different way than the helicopter moms or the free rangers. It's not just moms that are helicopter, by the way. It's dads too. And it's not just free rangers that are dads, that's moms too. You know, these are the ones that don't know where their kids are. They don't know where they're at. They're out doing whatever they want to do. God's got a different way. God's way is totally different than the world. And God said, train up a child in the way that he should go. Don't just feed them and let them grow and get big and look mature. You got to train them on purpose. Now, children are trained every day whether their parents know it or not. And there's active training and there's passive training. Most people are not active in their training of their children. They're just passively training them. They don't know what they're teaching them, but they're teaching them something. Now, active training involves training on purpose and towards an expected end. Y'all let that sink in. I had a friend of mine. I didn't remember this until just now. I had a friend of mine that was a therapist. And she was a tiger mom. Y'all heard of those? She was a tiger therapist. She would not let her children, because we work with kids. I've been working with kids and babies all my life. She would not let them kids get away with anything at work. And then she had a child that was a little bit different. And she kind of babied him a little bit. And her husband asked her one day, because he might have been a little bit on the spectrum. And her husband asked her one day, what do you want him to be able to do when he's 18? And she says, oh, I want him to be able to tie his shoes. I want him to be able to drive and hold down a job and be able to function socially in life. And yet her husband said, get on with it then. She said that was her aha moment. She didn't apply her mindset to her children, her own children, that she had with her patients. And it hit her like a ton of bricks. If I want him to be able to do these things, I've got to train him to do them now. I got to start him now. So, this active training is to an expected end. What do you want your children to be able to do? How do you want them to be able to be when they're 18? It would be strange. And let me go on. All right. Passive training occurs when people don't, or when parents neglect to train on purpose. They're trained regardless of what methods that you use. Most folks in our society are trained using the passive method. I'll give you some examples. All right. Active training. And this is rubber meets the road stuff. Active training. You say, I'm going to take you fishing tomorrow. And you go. Passive training, you say, I'm going to take you fishing tomorrow, and you don't go. What have you done? You've just trained your children to not be able to trust you or what you say because you've lied to them. You can apply this to any situation. You tell them, if you don't stop, this is active training. If you don't stop by the time I count to three, you're going to get a spanking. And then you count one, two, three. And if they kept on going, you know, the outcome one is they stop. Outcome two is they kept on doing, and you spank them, or you put them in timeout, or whatever you said you're going to do. You didn't lie to them. The passive training is, say, if you don't stop by the time I count to three, you're going to timeout. Outcome one, they stop, doubtful. Outcome two, they don't stop, and you put them in. They don't stop, and you either count again. Y'all have seen parents like that. Well, I'm gonna count to three. If you don't stop this time, you've already told them that you've already trained them that you don't mean what you say. Why would they believe you the second time if you didn't do it the first time? What am I really talking about? I'm talking about training your children actively and on purpose. What you mean to say the first time is what you meant the first time. Don't lie to your children. Most parents don't realize that they're lying to their children when they say something and don't do it. And then finally, they just try to divert the attention. The passive training, you know, they count to three multiple times, and then they just try to divert their attention away from something. You're passively training your children not to deal with an issue. Not to deal with an issue. Y'all got it? You're training your children in a lot of different ways by how you respond to them. Now, all of these things matter for society. It matters for your house. It matters for peace in your house. It matters for how your children are going to end up. And sometimes where they're going to end up. Now, the passive method trains them that you don't mean what you say and that they can't count on you. You've just lied to your child and trained them if you don't do what you say, you've trained your children that you're a liar. Is that harsh? It's true, isn't it? I mean, over time, they realize that they can't trust you. I think of we see it on TV all the time. The dad says, I'm going to be there at your recital, buddy. And then the kid's looking, and then his dad doesn't show up. He's unreliable. Okay? And the kid goes sad, and then the next time, I promise I'll take you fishing to make up for it, buddy. And then Saturday comes, and his dad don't show up. What has he taught his child? He's taught his child that I cannot be dependent on. I really lied to you because I didn't come through for you. It's sad. And what we're experiencing as a culture is all kinds of children that have grown up in that kind of environment. That's why we have what we have today. You know, back when my father was preaching, I guess it must have been in the 60s, even the sociologist back then said there's something stabilizing about Christian influence on society. Now, you wouldn't catch one of them saying that today, but even the sociologist said that back then. And they weren't Christian. These were non-Christian sociologists that made that statement back in the 60s. That there's something stabilizing about a Christian society. And I think the reason why that is because there is a standard of conduct that the children were taught in their homes. And they grew up to be good citizens, and they grew up to be honorable people back then when they were told no. And taught how to live and had limits set on them. Now, when you tell them What you're going to do when you do it, what are you teaching them? What are you training your children? That you can be dependable. That you're present. That you're aware of them. Now, in terms of us being God's children, what does He do to His children that He loves? I'd be willing to, and this is a bold statement. If you don't chastise your children, if you don't correct them, then you don't love them. You don't love them. How can I make that statement? I can make that statement because God said that He scourges and chastises every son whom He receiveth. God's talking about His children that He chastises. He said, if you don't get chastisement, you're not loved. So I can take that from the spiritual realm. How many of y'all been chastised by God? Oh, I have. He's whooped me up a lot of times for a purpose, to bring me back on His path. That's the same way that we conduct our, should conduct our homes, is that we chastise and correct our children so that we can bring them on the back on the path. Now, when I was younger and the children were younger, Hannah and Drew, I used to tell them, because chastisement involves, it's not just corporal punishment or spanking. Chastisement involves all tools used in the full training and instruction of children. Sometimes that's just sitting them down and saying, we don't do that. Here's what we do do. We don't, you know, that's part of chastisement. It doesn't always have to be a negative. Chastisement is positive as well. It's just plain instruction. It can mean corporal punishment. But chastisement involves the whole training of a child. The scourging would be the really corporal punishment there. Not only is it gentle instruction, sometimes it's harsh instruction. Sometimes it's taking them and in a strong way saying, we don't do that. And then give them a little help understanding. Because see, some kids need more help understanding things than others, don't they? Is it not true for you and God's family? There's some part of God's family that just need a little bit more help understanding things. Now, when Hannah and Drew were little, I told them I had a paddle that was made out of half-inch oak. And on that paddle, I wrote, the name of that paddle was the power tool. Because I said, in my shop, I've got a lot of tools that I use in the shaping of wood. Sometimes I'll use, to get it roughly the way that I want it, I'll use a saw and cut off a lot of stuff. And then after that, I'll use sandpaper, sometimes 80 grit, sometimes 60, sometimes 120. I have chisels where I do fine tuning of joints so that it'll fit exactly together. I got a lot of different tools for a lot of different reasons, but sometimes when I got to take off a lot of wood, I'll use the power tool. When you got a lot of extra stuff that needs to come off. And you know what? I didn't have to use that but about once or twice, maybe three times on each one of them. Thank the Lord they weren't that rebellious. But you have to start young. You have to start young training your children. Drew hid the first one that I made, and we didn't find it until years later when we moved. It was funny. He said, "I don't know where that thing went, Dad." Colossians 3 and 21. Well, let me say this. If you're not dependable, if you've trained your child that you can't be dependable, guess who they're going to look to for their training? They're going to look to society for their training. That they're going to look to all these other forms of information for their direction. I don't want Facebook training my children. I don't want news. I don't want the news or any groups out there in society training my children. I want to train my children. Do y'all get the point? Colossians 3 and 21 says, "Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Disheartened, that discouraged means disheartened or broken in spirit. Why do father, or how can fathers provoke their children to anger? By a lot of ways. It doesn't mean that they're not ever going to get angry at you as a father, but you don't want them to provoke them to be angry at you. That doesn't mean you give in to whatever they want. That means you don't poke the bear with a stick. That means you don't make them do something that you know they can't do. Or certainly you don't lie to them, because that'd make me madder than anything if my father told me something and didn't follow through. There's a lot of ways that we can provoke our children to be angry, and we don't want them we don't want any fathers to do that. Ephesians 6, 1 and 4 says, well, let me turn over there, because this kind of gives a little bit more teaching about it. Says children, chapter 6 of Ephesians, children, I'm talking to children now. It says, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's right for you children to obey your parents. God's children, it's right for you to obey God. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Did y'all know that? That's the first commandment that God gave with promise. What was the promise? He said, you'll live long and you'll see good days. You'll have good days if you honor your father and your mother. It's going to turn out good for you if you honor your father and your mother in the Lord. That it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. You know, if you don't honor your father and your mother, what's going to happen? What's the other end of that promise? It's going to turn out bad. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's a whole another sermon about how to do that. But we want to be sure that we're bringing them up in the Lord and His standard, and that we keep that standard in our families and in our homes, and that we don't allow children to get outside of that standard, because outside of that standard, you're in the weeds, and there's snakes in the weeds. Solomon talked about all that when he talked about the evil way. There's a lot of evils in the weeds. Let's train our children on purpose. And us as children, let's be receptive to the training that we get from our Heavenly Father by His Word. Because His Word teaches us how we ought to conduct ourselves in His house. Not just talking about the church house. It's talking about His kingdom. Let's honor God and even the mother. You know, Paul, that's a whole nother thing. About Solomon said, forget not the law of thy mother. I wonder what he's talking about. The law of thy mother. Y'all think about that this week. Think about the law of the mother. I mean, the father's got a law too, but what is the law of the mother? I pray that this has been instructive and helpful for you daily as we train our children. And not only that, I'll get it later, honey. Sometimes they'll do stuff you don't want them to do. May God bless us to be trained up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord ourselves, because God has conduct becoming of His children. And let's learn how to do that individually and grow in His house. May God bless you is my prayer. Doors of the church are open for reception of members should any have that desire to come and grow up into His house. You have a song?